Before we begin this episode, I have two corrections from episode 56. First, listener Azriel pointed out to me that the academic report concerning data leaked by Android phones assumed that GApps is a necessary part of Lineage OS. While functionality may be limited, there are alternatives, such as the Micro G suite used on EOS. Second, I neglected to credit Fongaboo in the final credits for suggesting that I talk about my departure from Facebook. Now on with the show. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 57 of Little Brother for October 23rd, 2021. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So let's get started. Cybersecurity firm Imperva has discovered an ad blocker doing the last thing an ad blocker should do. In a blog post from Wednesday, they write that Chrome extension AllBlock, which on the face of it appears to be a legitimate ad blocker, contains background script fittingly named bg.js, which injects a JavaScript code snippet into every new tab. The snippet would listen for messages that could be parsed and executed as code. Care was taken to obfuscate what the extension was doing by connecting together a number of innocent-looking objects in code. This last piece is the most damning, as it indicates clearly that the author was well aware that what they were doing was shady. The gradual transition from Americans getting their entertainment from cable TV to getting it from streaming networks has just brought along with it one of the prominent features of cable TV. Unfortunately, it's one that we would have all loved to have done without. Contract disputes and service cuts. Effective December 9th, unless something changes between now and then, the YouTube app will no longer be available on Roku devices, as Roku have not been able to hammer out a deal with Alphabet, the parent company of both Google and YouTube. Alphabet have remained silent on the topic, while Roku, in an update from Thursday, stated that they are not requesting any changes to the financial terms, but have raised concerns about Alphabet's handling of search results. A rebellion against high-tech websites has begun, inspired by the aesthetics of a pre-Google 1990s version of the World Wide Web, ruled by static content, animated GIFs, and web rings, or alliances of websites strung together by mutual links and occasionally a common central index. What is old is new again. There is one big difference. Back in the 90s, the common internet connection was measured in kilobits, 14.4, 28.8, 33.6, or 56, depending on your modem. Today, there are few, if any, internet connections that don't measure in megabits, and some even in gigabits. And on a contemporary internet, unlike back in the day, these sites load fast. And it is both nostalgic for those of us of Generation X, and also quite refreshing to see a website that loads this quickly. Keyword warrants are a relatively new practice in which a warrant is served on a search engine or other internet-based service, demanding all information available about individuals who have searched for certain specific concepts. On the whole, this shouldn't be a surprising turn of events. Search engines have been retaining search requests and the results for ages for many good reasons, including the ability to tailor search results to a specific user, determine appropriate advertising to send to a particular user, and of course to improve the search results overall. Unfortunately, whatever can be retained as a record can be obtained by a warrant or a subpoena, and something done on the internet in a much more innocent time could possibly come back to haunt you. Medtronic is expanding a recall of remote controllers used with their MiniMed 508 insulin pumps and the MiniMed Paradigm family of insulin pumps due to cybersecurity risks. Apparently, the risk in question is a simple replay attack in which, according to an FDA press release, the pump could be instructed to repeat a dose of insulin or to stop delivery of insulin, depending on what the messages are that the attacker has managed to capture for replay. As this is a life-threatening situation, users of these devices are advised to stop using the remote controller, turn off the Easy Bolus feature, disconnect the controller from their pump, and contact Medtronic to return the controller. I mentioned in episode 54 about the potential for a cyber attack caused death. This vulnerability certainly has the necessary attack surface for such a thing to happen. The Center for Internet Security is reporting that recent versions of the Chrome browser have a bug that allows for remote code execution. If you use Chrome, please check the version, and if it is prior to release 95.0.4638.54, you know what to do. Patch your systems. Once again, that's version 95.0.4638.54. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means? It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwned This Week. First up this week, we have Sinclair Broadcasting. Last Sunday, Sinclair suffered a ransomware attack, taking down the company's internal corporate network, email, and telephone systems, and caused issues with their ability to broadcast. An SEC filing from Sinclair says, quote, "While the company is focused on actively managing this security event, the event has caused and may continue to cause disruption to parts of the company's business, including certain aspects of its provision of local advertisements by its local broadcast stations on behalf of its customers. The company is working diligently to restore operations quickly and securely," end quote. Relevant to the season, the Ferrara Candy Company, which manufactures candy corns that get sold under the Brock's brand name, is the next pwn of the week. As with Sinclair, they suffered a ransomware attack. However, they have stated that production has resumed, and perhaps scariest, there would be no disruption in the supply of candy corn for Halloween. However, the big pwn of the week was Argentina. Yes, the whole damn country. Well, it might as well have been. The target of the hack was the RENEPER database system, Registro Nacional de las Personas, or the National Registry of Persons. This system has all of the data from the ID cards used in the country, including names, addresses, dates of birth, national ID numbers, basically identity theft of an entire nation in one neat little package. There is no ransom on this one. The threat actor's post indicates that they intend to sell the database flat out. Then we have a couple of follow-up stories. 2 weeks ago, Twitch lost control of essentially everything. This week, they sent a message to their customers that reads in part, quote, "A file was exposed that contained your name and email provided to us when you created your account. No action is required on your end. We take our responsibility to protect your data very seriously and deeply apologize to our community," end quote. Well, always good to hear when a corporation is taking it seriously. And finally, Missouri Governor Mike Parson, who I spoke at length about last week, has doubled down on his position. Here is some choice excerpts from a video that has been released by the governor's office.
Latest from the Missouri's fake news factory is from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, where a reporter has been digging around HTML code on a state website. The state technology division said the hacker decoded the HTML source code and viewed the social security numbers of teachers from a state website. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch is purely playing politics.
As a reminder, what the reporter for the Post-Dispatch did was press the F12 key. Anyone can do this. Literally anyone. You. Yes, you. You can do this. It is entirely on the state that private information was sent to end users' computers. This is their mistake. Now, some of you may recall what I said last week. Nothing is going to change. The governor is protecting something. Now, it's entirely possible that all he's protecting is his pride, but this isn't working. Governor Parson, your people fucked up, period. Full stop, the end. If you want to put an end to this crisis, fix the software, apologize for the error that your state government made, and take care of the victims. Someone, possibly multiple somebodies, made a mistake. Address the damn mistake. Crying fake news when you are caught with your pants down is getting really old and people are sick of hearing it. The truth is the truth. And the truth is, a mistake was made and you need to take responsibility, not deflect it. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support, including diligence about renewing certs. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Azriel, Thriller at Play, and Knight Rider 007 for their assistance with various stories. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. If you have questions or comments about this broadcast, or want to join in the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.